Well, hey everyone, welcome to LifeBridge Online. And whenever it is that you are watching this, whatever day, whatever hour it is, we are grateful that you are joining us online. I can't wait until we are united again in person, gathering under one roof to celebrate God. There's a little bit of excitement that was created last night in my home, because the headlines were popping up on the news and on the internet as our notifications on our phones were popping up about President Trump and our government is starting to make the plans to open up America. And I'm telling you, that created a little bit of excitement. I can't wait till we are over this thing and we are back together. But I want to say that I am moved right now by what God is doing in homes everywhere. It's neat to see how families are starting to settle into a groove of having church in the living room. Our groups are now meeting online. Classes for children are being offered, and all of this is getting better organized, and we're starting to settle in. One of the questions that is being asked in the corporate church world is, what is God doing in this unprecedented season that we are in? You know, what is he preparing us for? And Romans 8 talks about how all of creation is going through the pains of childbirth. Men, we don't get that. Women, you full on get that. There's suffering, there's death, there's uncertainty, there's pain. All of which, of course, is the result of sin. Adam's sin, our sin, all sin is what is responsible for these pains of childbirth that all of creation goes through. But then Paul gets down and he writes in what we know is verse 28 of chapter 8. And he says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for him. Church, God is going to work through this pandemic. I believe that God is working through this pandemic. But I love what verse 29 adds to verse 28. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. In this passage, Paul is writing to the church about the obstacles of creation and what creation goes through, even believers. And that through it all, God is going to work things out for his glory as you become like his son. So I believe that God is doing something in this season of your life to prepare you for something else, something greater, as we are trying to become like him. So this is why we ask the question, what is God doing in your life during this season right now? Are you taking advantage of this time? Are you doing your part to become like Jesus in this unique season of life? Well, today we are wrapping up a series on the attributes of God. And we're looking at his characteristics so that we can become more like Jesus. Right? Like, the better we understand God, the better we can know what to expect as we become like him. So here's what we've looked at so far. The first one is that we looked at God is self-sufficient. So this is a characteristic of God. And here's the deal with God's self-sufficiency. He has no needs. And because of his self-sufficiency, we can come to him as he provides for us. You and I have needs. We have needs. The soul has needs. The physical body has needs because of God's self-sufficiency. Because he doesn't have any needs, you and I can come to him. All of our needs can be met by him. The second characteristic we looked at is the holiness of God. God is holy. And we're told throughout Scripture that because he is holy, we are to be holy. And the truth of that is we don't become holy on our own efforts. It's not us that and our works that make us holy. We are holy because we belong to him. Last week was Easter, and we looked at the characteristic of love. God is loving. And we know that love is God is love, that his very nature is love. But here's the truth. God's grace that is given to us, His endless grace is possible because of His endless love. And so as we are trying to become like Him, love has to become who we are and what we are about. But today, as we wrap up this series, we're gonna look at the characteristic of wisdom. Now understand, we're not even coming close to all of the attributes of God and His characteristics and who He really is. We're only hitting on this a little bit because we could talk for weeks and weeks and weeks on end about the characteristics of God. And so we're starting here. As we learn about Jesus and we learn about Jesus and God in these other areas, we will build on this. I assure you of that. But today we look at wisdom. And I think this is important for us to look at wisdom during this season of life that we are in. Wisdom is one of those characteristics that as we think about God, we just agree. We nod our heads, yeah, God's wise, and then we move on. For most of us, we don't really dwell on wisdom. You know, especially God's wisdom. We don't dwell on the wisdom that he has and how that wisdom can impact our life no matter the circumstances that we are in. His wisdom speaks to my life no matter the circumstances. And you think about your life and you think about the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. You think about the struggles that you've gone through, the good times, the bad times. God's wisdom speaks to any circumstance in your life. Now, wisdom for you and I is something that is typically associated with people who have years of experience. You know, old people, we would say. Old people are those that we consider to be wise. Your grandma, your great-grandma, your grandfather. You know, those are people that we consider to be wise. Now, it's interesting how our view of wisdom and knowledge is shaped through the different stages of aging. Right? You think about the early years of life, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You think about our view of wisdom there. And you have your parents, and they're speaking over, they're raising, and they're doing whatever it takes to take care of these young children. And man, we look at our parents at this stage of life, and man, they know it all. Our parents are great. Whatever they say, we do. Well, we should do. Like, our parents are the smartest people in our world. But then the preteen years hit, right? And all of a sudden, mom and dad aren't considered the brightest. They don't seem to really have it all together. They don't really know what's best for me. And then that's escalated. Once the teenage years hit, all of a sudden, mom and dad know less, and they certainly don't know what I'm going through. They certainly don't know, they certainly can't speak into my life and the struggles that I have. They can't relate to me. And it's not until the mid-20s, 25, 26, where kids start to realize that parents are not the idiots they thought they once were, and that they do have a little bit of wisdom. And as that mid-20-year-old moves into their 30s, they realize just how wise mom and dad were. And I remember as I was starting to have a family of my own, and it wasn't really until I started having a family of my own that I realized just how wise my parents were. But then, and this is a natural feeling, isn't it? You get to my stage of life, and Socrates, the philosopher, he said it best. The only true wisdom is knowing how little you actually know. Right? I mean, at 45, I realize there's a lot of truth to that statement. But as we talk about wisdom and we talk about godly wisdom, what's the difference? What's the difference between wisdom? What's the difference between knowledge? Well, wisdom defined is the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. I think the key word in this definition is or key phrase, application of experience. That is what makes someone wise, the application of experience. Knowledge, then, is defined as facts, information, skills acquired by a person through education or practical understanding of a subject. Right, I read this quote somewhere. To acquire knowledge, all one has to do is study. But to acquire wisdom, you must have experience. See, I can be very knowledgeable of a subject and not be wise. Like my small engine on my lawnmower, right now it's giving me fits. I was thinking about this. I can't believe how many times my lawnmower has become a sermon illustration. So I'm studying. I'm studying. I watch YouTube videos on this particular engine. I'm reading troubleshooting blogs on making repairs for the issues that I'm dealing with. So I am knowledgeable to what these experts are saying, but I am not wise when it comes to small engine repair because I've yet to actually correctly diagnose the issue, and then I've yet to actually make the proper steps, I've yet to take the proper steps to make the repairs to restore this lawnmower to what it needs to do. When that happens, I'll have a little bit of wisdom to go with the knowledge. I'll have experience. J.I. Packer puts a biblical worldview on wisdom. Wisdom as it pertains to the Bible. And this is what he says in his book, Knowing God. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. As such, it is found in its fullness only in God. He alone is naturally and entirely invariable wise. God simply cannot make bad plans because he knows all from beginning to end. Scripture repeatedly calls God all wise beyond measure and any understanding that we have. Let's look at some verses that speak to this. Job 12:13 says, "But true wisdom and power are found in God. Counsel and understanding are His." Proverbs 3:19, Solomon writes, "By wisdom the Lord founded the earth. By understanding He created the heavens." I think it's so neat that on our TV screens, our radios, there's doctors on here more and more talking about this coronavirus and it's how it works and what it does and what it looks like. And I love the thought that scientists and doctors are continually learning new things about the human body, and they're continually learning things about nature. We're learning these things, and it's through God's wisdom that all of this was created. Paul closes out his letter to the Roman church by saying to the church in Romans 16:27, "To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ." See, Paul was a missionary and he traveled a lot and he had more than one run-in with secular practices of worship and just the numerous gods. And he closes out knowing that there is only one wise God, and that is Jehovah God, who we worship. Look at what he says to the church at Rome in chapter 11, starting in verse 33. "Oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge! How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways! For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice? And who has given Him so much that He needs to pay it back? For everything comes from Him and exists by His power and is intended for His glory. All glory to Him forever. Amen." We're sitting here, you know, Paul's writing, and according to Paul, God's riches, His wisdom, His knowledge, they are great. They are vast. They're expansive. They go way beyond our ability to understand. And look at him. He says, "For who can know the Lord's thoughts? who knows enough to give him advice. Right? I mean, and you know those people. The people that, I know what's best. The Lord may be saying this, but I know what's best. And Paul's like, no, we don't understand. God goes way beyond our ability to understand. So then what's the benefit? We talk about the wisdom of God, and we say that God is wise. What's the benefit for us that God is wise? How does this impact my life? And I think this boils down to one main answer. And it impacts every aspect of my life. If I understand that God is wise, then I can trust Him and what He says for my life. I'll say that again. If you're sitting here on your couch today and you're listening to this, if you can understand that God is wise and His wisdom is supreme to our own understanding, then we can trust Him for what He says is best for our life. The truth is, I'll never be able to fully grasp God's knowledge and wisdom. But if I can grasp today that His wisdom exceeds what I'm capable of understanding, then I can trust His ways are better for me than my ways. You ever have that person in your life? I hope you do. I hope that you have somebody that can speak into your life right now. Maybe it's a friend, a peer, someone who's the same age as you. Usually this person is someone who is older, a mentor. And maybe it's a parent. Someone that you can go and just talk circumstantial life with. This is what I'm going through right now. And you can go to this person. You know that, hey, they're not going to judge you. They're not going to look down on you. Someone that will listen and will never intentionally steer you astray. They seem to always give you good advice. Do you have one of these people in your life? Well, I want us to know and understand today that God's capability and the wisdom that He has goes way beyond what this person in your life has to offer. Now please hear me. I believe wholeheartedly that God works through these people. I do. And I'm not trying to diminish the role of these people in our life. I'm just trying to get us to the point where we understand that God is amazingly wise. His wisdom exceeds anything that we can fathom. He knows what is best for my life. He knows the decisions that I need to make. He knows how I need to parent with my kids locked in at home. He knows my financial situation and what needs to be done with my finances right now. He knows how to fix my relationship. He knows all that's going on in my life. His wisdom has all the best answers for these and more. So I can trust Him. I can trust Him because His wisdom exceeds my own understanding. And I hope and I'm praying right now for us that this brings us some comfort as we are dealing with something new with this pandemic. We've never gone through this before in our life. We don't have experience to draw on. This is not new to God. And I'm hoping that we grasp that His wisdom is something that we can draw on and we have access to. So how do I gain this wisdom? You know, here's the truth about God, and we see it throughout Scripture. We see it with Solomon. God doesn't want to keep His wisdom to Himself. He wants to share it with us because He knows that as we have this godly wisdom, we are going to become more like His Son. So how do I gain godly wisdom? Well, Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Did you catch that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon isn't telling us to be scared of God. He's not talking about that. He's talking that this word fear says that we're to have a deep reverence for God. And out of this deep reverence for God, that is where wisdom begins in our life. And truthfully, I believe that our culture has lost all fear of God. I mean, that's why you can look around and you can see the sin that is running rampant. And typically, when historically, when you look at societies that are living the way we are living, there is zero respect. There's zero reverence for God. And so for you and I, wisdom, godly wisdom, begins when we have this deep reverent, this fear of who God is and how we should adore Him and what He's capable of. That's where wisdom begins. The second thing, if we're trying to gain godly wisdom, the second thing I would say is look at the book of James. James is pretty straightforward. He says in chapter 1, if you need wisdom, ask for it. And he says, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. Now, I hate to say that there's a stipulation that comes with it, but there's an expectation that comes with it. He says, when you ask the Lord for wisdom, but when you ask, your faith has to be in Him alone. See, I can't go to God and ask God for wisdom and then call the California psychic hotline and get their opinion of what needs to be happening in my life and then search out this other third opinion of what needs to be happening. When I ask God for wisdom, my faith has to be in Him alone. And what this means is that as wisdom is granted, as God imparts His wisdom into my life, obedience follows. Right? Know what you're asking for when you are asking God for wisdom. Remember what separates wisdom from knowledge? And that's experience. So when you ask for wisdom, know that what you are asking for will require action from you beyond simply gaining information. There's one thing to ask God for knowledge. Lord, make me knowledgeable in this. But I'm asking God for wisdom as it pertains to life. I'm asking Him for His wisdom. And when you ask for wisdom, you have to know that action is going to be required to live out whatever it is that God is sharing with you. The third way is the final way that we gain godly wisdom. Paul writes in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. They have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And I'll say it because this is an important passage to us. Verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Godly wisdom comes from God's Word. Not just knowing God's Word, but trusting in Jesus and trusting in what God's Word says. We've got to trust. That's what Paul says, the Holy Scriptures. He said this to Timothy, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures. They have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And so he's summarizing that salvation comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. That's a truth, that's a central truth with all of God's Word, that things happen, not just salvation. I become more like Him as I trust His Word and I trust what He says. God speaks through His Word. Wisdom comes from His Word, which is one reason we're making such an emphasis this year on spiritual disciplines and knowing the Word of God better. And here's the beautiful thing. Church, here's the beautiful thing about gaining godly wisdom. It leads us to Christ-likeness. Godly wisdom leads me to living my life like Jesus Christ would live my life. James tells us what gaining godly wisdom looks like. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. All of those are qualities of Jesus. As we gain wisdom from above, I will start to take on the very nature of Jesus in my life. This, I hope you see, has now come full circle. Because as a Christian, this should be my number one earthly desire, to become like Jesus. So, church, as we close today, my prayer for you is that you will seek the wisdom of God. Love you all. Hope this brings some encouragement into your family, into your home, and into your life. You guys have a great week. Looking forward to seeing you soon.